And we're back for episode 52 of the Moto 247 show. Obviously, it's been a while. The last episode was before Detroit, right after Daytona, when Joey was in studio, and he's back again over the phone. And we're going to, I guess, cover everything. It's, you know, like I said, it's been a while since our last episode. So welcome back. And yeah, it's been a while. So a lot's happened in the moto world. So I want to get into that and get into a little bit of what you have going on right now. But anyways, how's it going down there and at the Shoals?
It's going good. I just finished up my third week here of being back down. I was down at a 6-week boot camp before Loretta's to kind of feel it out, and I liked it, and they liked me, so I made the decision to come back. So now I'm kind of, this week was our first official week of our like mini O's, quote unquote camp, I guess. But yeah, it's good. The weather's been good, and track's been good. I got to been able to ride a little bit too, so I'm not happy.
How does it feel to kind of be back in the groove of like just being more around the racing vibe, I guess? Like you've always have since you stepped away from racing a little bit, but just, you know, focusing on the racing side versus working up here doing suspension.
Yeah, it's definitely nice being down here. Like, it's brings back a lot of memories of the past, being at a facility. I'm staying in a fifth wheel and at the track. So I'm here in it, like, when I was back racing pro, you know, and at club and in the fifth wheel. And, you know, I was training every day and riding and whatnot. We're here. I'm coaching, I guess. Still similar vibe, you know, and I still can ride and whatnot, but it feels good being up there in Michigan. You know, just being, you know, punching in and punching out every day is kind of gets old. Like, I'm still down here doing suspension. I got a bench set up down here, and I actually did some work today. I've done a few sets in my free time, so I'm still keeping up on the suspension side of things. I don't mind doing suspension, but I do enjoy training a bit more. So it's I'm happy with where I'm at the moment.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to see what you've been having going on lately, and the whole thing with the whole JC Ryder development, and then going down there. Seems like you really got it going on, and how does it feel to be the one probably yelling at the kids and stuff, and kind of I don't know how it was before, but, you know, I bet you guys give them a hard time, but to be on the other end of that, I bet it has to feel a little nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's for sure, like, it's, I feel like I got a pretty good upper hand on a lot of these guys as a trainer, not to sound cocky, but just in the aspect of I've lived it. And lived it not too long ago, like at facilities, and so I know what to look for, and I know what I didn't like from facilities, and I know what I did like from facilities. So I'm able to kind of critique it and build a program that what I, you know, what I wish I would have had, kind of, you know, and share it with these other guys and these kids. And but yeah, they do like to slack off here and there, so I gotta occasionally make some, do some push-ups or run laps or on the track or whatever, you know, to let them know that who the boss is.
Be on their asses, like, yeah. Pounded in, wake them up with a horn, yeah. At 6 a.m. Get your asses.
Yeah,
up.
We may or may not have woken up a kid with some fireworks this summer because he didn't show up for gym.
So, yeah, don't want to get on your bad side, damn.
Yeah, no, we have a good time here. Like, I really like this vibe. It's like kind of a big family, you know. All the kids seem to hang out together. It's not really too much, too cliquish here, which is nice. And you know, we keep it fun. The train, I mean, there's still hard work, like, don't get me wrong, kids are grinding every day, but we try to mix in some fun training activities, and also there's some straight up fun stuff, like golfing or fishing, playing on some pit bikes, bicycles, whatever, you know.
Yeah, we got to touch on the caffeine thing in a second, though. But
You're good. Yeah, trying not to burn these kids out. But
yeah, it seems really fun, though. Like, I started following the Shoals on Instagram right after you started, and kind of cool to see what they're building. And they're fairly new, right? Aren't they only like a couple years old or some?
Yeah, they've, I don't know exactly when they started, but it's maybe 2 to 4 years ago. Like I said, I really don't know, huh? But I do know is that they haven't really targeted the moto market very hard until like really this past year. That's why they are part of the reason why they wanted to hire me is they've been known for their off-road side of training, and that market for people wanting to come and train full time is pretty minimal. And you know, Stu Baylor is the owner, or part owner. He is really good in the woods, as you can see. And you know, a moto guy doesn't think they could come and learn anything from him, but you know, he's fast on a dirt bike in the woods or on a track, really, to be honest. But if you don't see that, so having a guy like me come in, you know, I'm pretty much straight moto. I've done some woods stuff too, but I'm, you know, mainly moto is what I'm known for. And so people want to come and learn from me. And then my experience, like I said, at facilities really comes in handy. And like, so this year, you know, went to Loretta's, you know, they mended, they brought their semi and had a big setup. And a lot of people were asking, like, well, what's this Shoals place? Like, you know, no one's ever heard of it. Like you said,
I haven't heard of it, honestly, like until like the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So like they're definitely, you know, spending some money and trying to get out there. And like many O's will be there again, set up with the semi and vending to support our riders. They're going and hopefully get some new riders for the future. Yeah, it's definitely, I'm excited to grow, help grow this facility and grow with them. And yeah, excited for the future for sure.
Yeah, like you said, touching on how you said it's like a family atmosphere is kind of cool, just seeing all the stuff from Loretta's. And obviously, like everyone's Instagram feed and the moto community just gets flooded with posts from, you know, everyone that's down there. But it seemed a little bit different from the Shoals, you know, side of things. Just seemed like a big family vibe. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it seemed pretty cool. And a couple of your riders did pretty good. I know Canyon Richards got second, had some issues with the bike, though, that held him back, which wasn't he, like, in the running for getting that title in the Super Mini class and had, like, a DNF or some. But
both, I think both classes he had a DNF, and he ended up winning his last moto in the one Super Mini. So yeah, he had some pretty bad luck. The one moto, he's in second for the whole time, bike blew up like with lap and a half left. And yeah, so he had some bad luck. But at least he showed some good flashes. And then Caleb, our 85 rider, he his first time there at Loretta's. He usually just races woods, and he got third and then won his last moto at the end of the week. So that was super awesome. And other riders, we had some top 10 rides in A with Ben Elko and a podium and 25 plus, and had some struggles with our B rider, Dawson. He, for sure is capable of, in my opinion, winning the B class there at Loretta's, but he, yeah, had some crashes and hurt himself and tried riding through it and just couldn't make it happen. But it's the usual week at Loretta's, lots of highs and lots of lows.
Yeah, and especially with the mud this year, like I was watching those clips and I'm like, oh my God, like just imagine having, like, it's just crazy to me that that race is so important. Like, there can be so many other races, all the other nationals, like Freestone and everything, but, like, everyone looks at Loretta's, and it seems like a lot of years there's going to be, like, at least one moto that's absolutely a mutter, and this year was horrible. Like I didn't watch that much on the Racer TV feed, but just seeing some stuff on Insta and Facebook and stuff like that, it seemed crazy. But if
yeah, it was,
if anyone
I mean,
can handle
for
it,
sure.
it'd be the guys at the Shoals. It seems like, you know, some woods guys there, like you're saying, and some of the videos I see there through the woods. Like, don't you guys have a woods track there, or was that something else I saw?
No, yeah, we do have a woods track. It's like, it's like two track or a little bit wider than two track trail, but through the woods, some jumps, some rollers, and it's kind of a neat track, kind of across pretty between moto and woods. That's fun. Then we have a bunch of trails here too, and then like a bunch of three full moto tracks, and amateur supercross track, and a regular supercross track, and the woods track and the trails. So it's pretty set up here.
It seems pretty cool. Excited to see what you guys can do in the future. But first off, I got to talk about our golf. Last weekend, was that last weekend, 2 weeks ago? So, you guys, we went golfing, and I was horrible. Could barely hit the ball. I think I retired. Like I was so excited. Like I was thinking about golf for like a year, and I'm just like, that's something I should get into. Like that seems so much fun. Like it from like what we're used to, it's a little bit different, but you know, it seems maybe relaxing. It can't be that hard. You're just hitting a freaking ball. And I knew I was going to suck, so I'm not saying, oh, I was going to do good, but that first hit at the driving range, I'm like, oh my God, no. Safe to say, I don't think golf is in our future of, being something we can be competitive in, at least like doing tournaments or whatever they're called. I don't know. I know a lot of moto, guys are really into golf, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm at that point where it's like, I don't know if I should ever touch a club again or if I should like go like hardcore into it and try to be good. I just see another money pit.
Yeah, it totally can be. Golf is frustrating. But yeah, it was funny. You were all geeked up, wanting to do 18 holes and all this stuff. And I'm like, all right. And yeah, you got quickly reminded how golf is. And I hadn't golfed in like probably a year. And I do kind of forget as well. Like, you know, you don't golf for a year and it's like you kind of want to golf, right? Because you haven't done it in a while and then you do it and it's like, shoot, like I can get okay if I golf consistently, but that's the thing, you got to do it consistently. And and I've never really been good to begin with, but yeah, it is fun hanging out with buddies and, you know, but it can also be very frustrating when you're hitting the ball 10 feet. And
yeah, they're 10 feet, no joke.
Yeah. You would hit the ball 10 feet, walk up, hit the ball 10 feet, walk in there.
Or yeah. My best one went into a pond. We had like a, I don't know, the golf terms or whatever the hell it was, but I had a pond, then there was the green was up ahead and right next to some freaking houses. Like that's a stupid idea to put houses there, but yeah, I didn't make it over the pond, but it was like my best hit of the day and I was excited. Like it went in. I was happy so I was there.
Yeah
you were definitely a lot better, but I still don't think might have some work to do, but we'll figure it out. What next September? We'll try again.
Yeah, our annual golf game.
Yeah, I'll have to be drinking next time though, because I didn't have any drinks, and I at least I don't know, but I can't handle that without any drinks. I guess we're driving around circles looking for my ball, like probably 20 feet away from the where I freaking hit it up. Oh my God. But yeah, it was fun, but yeah. But anyways, we got MX Nations on right now. Qualifying was today, which I didn't watch, but heard kind of what went on. Then we have the actual racing tomorrow. So really excited to see how Team USA will do. Got our asses kicked, it seemed like, so far. Qualified, I think, what, P6 or something. So that sucks, but how do you think those guys are going to do? We have definitely a team that I think could do good, but definitely not our A team for sure.
Yeah, they for sure, unfortunately, had to dig into the in the rider roster, so to speak. It was just crazy. It's the perfect bad storm, so to speak, with all the top riders being hurt or switching teams or having a wedding or whatever,
the wedding.
Yeah, I just didn't. Yeah, I don't blame them. Doing racing all year and then racing SMX, and then you have a short window when you can get real or normal quote unquote life stuff in. So, so you just had to do it. And it was booked a while back. And I think they actually moved Disney Nations. It was supposed to be on a different date. And then SMX came up and they moved the date. So I think that's originally Cooper was in or was going to be able to do it as of last fall, and then SMX schedule came out and then they moved his Nations. So ended up moving to his wedding for Justin Cooper, who we're talking about. But it sucks for him. And I was really surprised that Deegan didn't go with him being, trying to be the patriotic American, doing it for America and all this stuff at the Nationals, and then he doesn't go to the Nations.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was funny.
I get it. You were saying how it's hard after a long season, and I can't even imagine now we got SMX, which what the AMA says, technically it's only two more races, but you're going from, the beginning of January to deep into September of hardly any time off, and I get it. And plus, the amount of money that goes into it is pretty crazy for, making the hike overseas or to wherever it is that year to MX and Nations. There was something about Eli Tomac, and it was, $30,000, I believe, it cost to fly his whole family and everyone over and for all the expenses for that week. And I'm like, that's pretty crazy, which between that and the long schedule, I definitely get it. With Deegan, I was surprised a little bit, like what you said. He's always USA this, USA that. And with, the Aussie boys dominating this summer over here in the States. But, yeah, I was a little surprised by that. I get it, for the reasons we just stated. But at the same time, I was like, come on. especially after, how good of a year he had. Not like he would have been a B guy or something. He definitely was progressing and getting a lot better, which I don't know, I kind of surprised everyone, I think, but there are some people, but yeah, I thought he was for sure going to be a lock in into Designations, but I don't know, I'm really curious to see how we're going to do tomorrow, which got an early 7 a.m. right time for the first photos, so we'll see with that. I don't know if I'll be able to watch that. Figuring that out right now. I'm on the night shift now, so my schedule is screwed up. So I might stay up or I might go to sleep early and try waking up for it. But when I saw that a couple hours ago, I was like, shoot, I don't know. But if not, I guess there's CBS at 12.
Yeah, you can watch it online. But who is Jack Chambers riding for?
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Not Chambers specifically, but
Varese is for Guam.
I was going to ask your opinion on that whole thing with USA riders.
Chambers, no.
I think Chambers is Puerto Rico. I think I could be totally wrong on that, but I think he's Puerto Rico. And
oh, yeah, I think you're right.
And then Grant Harlan is Guam, which he got hurt today. So.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, I think he fractured
hurt over there.
Head. Yeah, over there in qualifying.
Really?
That I don't know if it was practice or qualifying. I'm behind on the moto info from today, but I think he last update was him on Twitter. He was over in the hospital, so trying to navigate all the. I can imagine getting hurt over there and all the.
Chambers was ninth in the qualifying race, which is was pretty good.
Yeah, I saw that. I was looking on the list. I was a little surprised there. I haven't really kept up with the whole GP stuff this year, but I think he's been doing all right over there. But definitely that's pretty good, I think, at least. But so what's your whole opinion with, like, guys from the States riding for Puerto Rico or Guam or whatever? Because I don't know. I'm like, I get it, and I think it's cool, but at the same time, for, like, other countries, if guys like Grant Harlan, which he's been doing really good over here in the outdoors, go over and race for Guam because they're not going to, you know, they're not on that level for Team USA, but they're just going over and qualifying. Well, if he didn't get hurt, he probably would have qualified pretty good, at least, for Guam, which, yeah, I don't know really how to think about that.
Gotcha. I mean, I think it's fine. I don't really have a strong opinion against it. I mean, I don't know what his title was, but he had something to do with Team Puerto Rico. I don't know if it was the team manager or team owner or what his job title was. But he approached me 2020 Supercross after the first round or second round or something. He approached me and, you know, if I would be interested in doing it. And I didn't know any details, but he gave me his card to give him a call. And I got excited. You know, I think as a racer, you know, because, like, I mean, that would be awesome, right? Like, obviously your dream is to be on Team USA, but for a lot of riders, they can't do that. So to be able to go race the nations on a B level team, or, oh, it's actually down the list of letters on the alphabet, but still, it'd be so cool to be able to participate in that event. And in 2018, I was really trying to get on the team, and then they end up, it was kind of more of a tribute thing than, you know, racing. I raced Sipes at Redbud like 2 weeks before, and I beat him on a 2v2 stroke. I really wanted to go, more or less, is what I'm saying. But I think it's cool. I don't worry about taking spots away from other countries and whatever. It's we're like, US is a big big fountain of riders. I don't think this is the word I'm looking for, but comes from here, right? Yeah, so it's cool that we have a B level team. I think it is kind of crazy having Puerto Rico and Guam.
Yeah, like, technically it's in the rule, or not the rule book, but technically we can, you know, it's fine, but it's a, you know, it's, I don't, I like you said, I think it's really cool for the riders, but at the same time, like, ooh, like, I don't know, but not like we're sending, let's say, not this year, obviously, but like Tomac, Sexton, and who's a really good, like, Deegan or whatever this year. Not like we're sending them on Team USA, let's say, if they're all healthy and all the, you know, contract stuff wasn't going on this year, or the new team, I mean, but we sent them, then we'd send, let's say, we sent the same team we have right now, like, in Puerto Rico. I think that'll be a little, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's just, it's privateer guys, you know,
but
that go. It's not, yeah, factory guys on the beat on that would be kind of, like, screwy a bit. Like, they can't really do that.
Yeah, like, here on the podium, we got Team USA, and then we got France, and we got Puerto Rico.
Oops, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny.
Puerto Rico and the three factory guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be pretty crazy, but yeah, I forgot what I was going to touch on there for a second.
Oh, there's some carnage. I saw some carnage today. Dylan Ruddy crashed pretty bad. He's okay, but I just saw pictures of it, and he collided with a guy in the air and bent his bike up really bad and ended up having to DNF that. And then, I just dropped my train of thought, but I think it was Maxime Renault. Or no, it wasn't Renault. It was, Glenn Koldenhoff. He DNF'd his race. So I'm not sure what happened to him, but I see he DNF'd. So he must have had a crash or bike malfunction or something.
Yeah, it sucks. I really like him. I just don't want
couple
them to
surprises.
I'm really curious to see how it's going to work out because, you know, Tom Vielle, I think he's going to do really good. After seeing him over here in the States for this whole year, and especially outdoors, I didn't really expect everything for, you know, that much for Supercross, but to see him go back and return home to GP styled, you know, tracks and everything, and plus his home country too, I'm expecting they're going to do really good. Kind of stinks not having like that powerful team that we did last year, especially after winning last year, because it, as you know, Team USA was so dominant for so long, then there's like a dry spell for years where no one, you know, like the top guys wouldn't go over. Then after winning last year, especially at Redbud, it was really cool. I wish I could have made it out. Yeah, you know, missed a lot, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like the team we have can do really good, but we'll see if RJ can keep it on two wheels and see how it goes. But I don't know. I think we can do good, but interesting to see. But yeah, well, it's been a long time since our last episode, so I'm not going to really recap everything, but talk a little bit about the outdoors and first, I guess, get into it with Jet Lawrence. It's crazy to me that all the people, like, I don't think anyone had him going 22-0 in his rookie year going into this year in the outdoors, but a lot of people had him, I don't know necessarily if it's under the radar is the correct term or anything, but like they weren't expecting him to be like up there with the red plate and stuff. And I don't know, like I'm not a hater by any means, but like I'm not necessarily rooting for him. I really don't care for the Lawrences that much. Like I used to like Hunter Lawrence, but I don't know, just I'm not a hater or anything, but just would rather have someone else win. But I kind of not feared, but kind of had a feeling that Jet was going to really kick ass. I had no idea he was going to go 22-0 and especially be as dominant in that 22-0, because you can still go 22-0 and have a lot of riders lead laps, long, you know, portions of motos, which what only happened, I think that was at Bud's Creek, right, with Plessinger. But besides that, it's like no one led except for Kenny, which had a, what was that, Unadilla? But
oh, Kenny, High Point.
Or High Point, yeah, Unadilla. It wasn't Unadilla.
Yeah.
But, yeah, with besides Plessinger and Kenny there for a bit, yeah, it was like no one can stop him. It was really crazy. And especially, I don't know, Chase kind of had it bad with being out with an injury and trying to jump back in and being up there with Jet. And we saw them both, you know, at the opening round at Fox Raceway. You know, it was really good racing, but I was kind of just surprised even when Chase came back. And like the first week, I didn't think he would win, but you know, after week after week, I thought he'd get better and be up there. And man, he was close though, a couple times, but yeah, it's just crazy. And I'm really curious to see how Jet's going to do in Supercross. And yeah, hopefully we'll see some good battles though. But what were you shocked by? I guess that's kind of a dumb question because I don't think no one was expecting 22-0, but like, I guess where were you expecting Jet the B this outdoor season?
Yeah, for sure. Not 22-0 or even winning the championship, to be honest. I mean, coming into the season, I think everyone, unless if you were just a major Jet fan, thought Chase Sexton was going to win. That was just seemed like a no brainer to me. And then the first round was like, oh wow. Like, I mean, Jet's here to play, but I still thought Chase was going to win. Cause Jet's really good at Paula. Chase isn't a huge fan of there. So like, and he was coming in, I thought he had a little bit of it. Oh, he crashed in practice.
Yeah, that was pretty.
So I was like, too. Yeah, a bad crash in practice. And so I'm like, yeah, 2-2. Where, like, and he still challenged Jet, like, pretty hard that second moto. So I'm like, oh, you know, Chase will rebound this weekend. And then he ended up getting, Chase got hurt. He crashed in the week, the break there, and during the week. and then was out for several rounds. And then that let Jet build his confidence and get, you know, his feet under him. And he was, his competition was Aaron Plessinger, who was coming off an injury in Supercross. He had raced the last few rounds. Oh, Cooper Webb, who didn't even think he was injured in Supercross, didn't even think he'd be able to race outdoors. Dylan Ferrandis, who was injured in Supercross, didn't do the last few rounds. Well, Anderson wasn't there. Marshall wasn't there. I'm trying to think, am I missing anyone? Yeah, it's like basically
pretty much the entire field.
Yeah, like everyone. Like, so Chase was the main guy. He's hurt. He's out. And everyone else was coming in injured. So, Jet, it was, you know, super lucky for Jet that those circumstances, you know, not saying Jet isn't a good rider, but to start the season, you know, he was able to, I don't want to say ease into it because he still dominated those motos, but like, if Chase was there and didn't get hurt the second round, I guarantee you he would not have gone 22-0 or Tomac. Tomac was there, or Ferrandis was healthy through Supercross into outdoors. But it's so hard to like play catch up. Like those guys were playing catch up right at the beginning where Jet's steamrolling off that momentum, and it's like building confidence week after week after week, and it's getting better week after week. And then Chase jumps back in and Jet's a whole new rider. Granted, it sounds weird because Jet won the first round, but you know, for those reasons I said a little bit ago of why, but so Chase jumps back in the season and Jet is way better than he was at round one. And, you know, he did beat Chase. So Chase had to, you know, rebuild and build back up to catch back up to him again, which he did pretty quickly, but that came with a lot of mistakes. And the biggest thing is Chase never started in front of him. He did one or two races. The first one was Millville, which he made a mistake, and Jet passed him on the first lap. And then the next round was Bud's Creek. He got a bad start. Chase or Jet got an even worse start, but then Chase fell. So then that erased that. And Chase clearly showed the speed. Like, he was fast enough to run his pace. He caught Jet numerous times. But it's a thing. Catching him is one thing. You know, passing him is a complete other, right? And, yeah, Jet was just able to fend him off, and he couldn't do it. But, yeah, basically I was really shocked. You can tell I'm not, like, I'm not against Jet, but I'm not a super fan. More or less because I don't like the young kids coming in and like just killing everyone. And I'm a fan of Chase because I grew up racing Chase, and like in my mind, in a different world, minus 20 of my injuries, I would be on Chase's level, you know. Like, but whatever, the world had different plans. But so that's why I'm more for Chase than Jet, you know. But Jet is an amazing rider.
It seems like, not like he hasn't came in and dominated. Like he had to work his way up, and where Jet's just, which I'm not taking anything away from Jet at all, but like he just came in and okay, I'm the Mac Daddy now, bitches. Like
yeah,
I've destroyed everyone. Yeah, even though the field's weak, but there was, you know, Chase came back though. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, Jet's amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. No matter what, going 22-0, this weak field or not, is amazing. It's incredible. But he did have some luck, you know, like for sure there was some luck on his side, which I don't want to say that, you know, he better be lucky than good any day because he's good. But he did have some luck on his side, you know, and that high point when Ken jumped in there and gave him fits, and Jet had that pretty bad crash. You know, he got lucky that wasn't worse. You know, he didn't break his bike or break himself, you know. that was the first round that someone really gave him fits, because his chase hadn't returned yet. And we saw him, you know, make a mistake and he regrouped, but
Yeah, he did really good this year. Masterpool did really good. I was really surprised with him. I think everyone was, obviously, but then he carried that over to SMX, which I want to get into. But first, and, I want to talk about go on.
You brought up Masterpool. You got to give a shout out to Garrett, too.
Oh, Garrett, yeah. Garrett kicked ass, too. A big shout out to Masterpool and Marchbanks.
Yeah, those are two of the privateer standouts for sure. Like, it was super smart of them, of Club, to switch Garrett over to 450 after the first two flops, the first two rounds on the 250, and he, you know, crushed it. I wish he would have had some better starts. He saw the one round, he got a good start, he's on the podium, you know. He crushed it. It's cool to see.
You're really pumped for him. He seems like a really nice and humble guy, and I know a lot of people are, you know, if you're at that level, there's a lot of people that are cocky and stuff, so it's nice to see, like, Chase, too, like, everything I hear, like, from, you know, being, growing up with them and, traveling the country, racing against them, and then families that were in the industry as well, and talking to people, and, like, a father that his son was racing, not with him, but a couple years, behind him. I think he was on, like, 65s when you guys were on 85s, but he's just saying how that whole family is just really humble and really nice people, and to see them, where they're at now is really cool to see. But and the same thing with Garrett too. Like, I don't, you've been hanging out with him at Club and I guess sort of raced him a little bit, going through your amateur years, but from what I've seen, it just seems like a really good dude, and really cool to see him do good on the 450, and kind of wanted him to stay on the 450 for Supercross, but I get the whole 250 thing, but I guess we'll see how it goes for 2024, but yeah, I was really pumped, and like each round, like that was the only thing interesting in the 450 class. Like, I was like all geeked up to watch the 250 class, and like the 450 class, it's like, okay, what am I gonna do? Like, do I have to mow my yard or something? Yeah, I'm not gonna stay for 30 minutes. But then it's like, oh crap, look at Masterpool. Like, dang, like, it was at Thunder Valley his first round, he really kicked ass. And then I was like, okay, maybe that was a fluke or something. Like, I don't think he can do that again. And then I was like, holy crap, like, that was really good. And then Marchbanks, getting that podium, and then being up there running inside the top five, and both those guys did really good throughout the rest of the season. Then going into SMX, I really did not know what to think at all. I want to recap this really quick. I know we're kind of running short on time here, but really did not know what to think about that. I thought it was going to be more like Monster Cup type stuff. I hated the name, so I made fun of that for a while. Made the most of that joke. But honestly, like, after the first round, I was really pumped with it, and each round was a little bit different to where it wasn't the same thing three times in a row, and it was definitely a lot different than I expected it to be. Charlotte was really cool in its own way, same with Chicago, then going over to LA was, more of Supercross type stuff a little, but man, it was really cool. And what do you think about the whole SMX thing, I guess, the track, from track wise to just, and obviously the money side has to be really nice as well.
Yeah, I think it was a hit. The tracks were good. I mean, some of them were hard to pass and a little, like, could have been a little bit better, but overall I think they hit it on the mark for what they were trying to do. It wasn't anything we've ever really seen. Like, it wasn't a Monster Cup, it wasn't Supercross, it wasn't straight outdoors. Threw all the teams for a loop, but I think it's awesome, and all the money they gave away, like, that's pretty awesome. Man, it makes me sure wish I was racing. Just putting myself back in my racing shoes there, man, that would have been so awesome.
It was
So you
like
don't really make that
twenty-some
much.
grand to for like last place in the 450 class.
Yeah, which is insane. Hopefully one day I'll get back and be able to do those. It was awesome. Hopefully they keep it going, and I sure hope they make it back to LA someday, so I want to be there when they go back.
I know we're talking about going, and it was smart for both of us not to go, looking back. But man, I really wish I would have went because I don't. It sounds like they're not going next year.
Yeah, you see that?
Pardon?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Oh, have I cut out? I'll pause this real quick, guys, and find out what's wrong here.
I've been doing good.
And we're back. We had an issue with this Bluetooth, so I have no idea what went wrong. So we're taking it off that. But to wrap it up, I don't know what we're talking about. What, something with SMX? That was like 30 seconds ago. God. I think we're both just like tired, but it's been a long day. But was it SMX?
Yeah, we're just talking. We were gonna go to LA, but we didn't.
Oh, yeah, the whole LA thing.
Yeah, which was end up probably being for the best, kind of. Me end up coming home, and I just happened to instead of going there, I end up coming home, and then my grandpa ended up passing away. So I was thankful that I came home instead of going out there, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Be
Looking
home
back,
when I am. Yeah.
It was definitely a good choice, and I think even before we both knew that something we probably shouldn't do. I guess not shouldn't, but like there's better things to do than that.
Yeah,
Yeah, for
save our
you,
money.
yeah, save our money. You can go home, come up here to Michigan, and I can save my money, and especially because I had to work Sunday night, and so my flight would have been like 5 a.m. LA time. And then landing like what 1 p.m. in Detroit, so that would have been really rough. And having to go home and get a few hours of sleep, then go to work. So it was possible, and yeah, I could have done it, but I guess we'll never find out. Who knows? But yeah, I was like watching that. I was like, man, I think we made the wrong decision here. Like as I was watching, I'm like, this is so cool. But I don't know. It was pretty cool. Man, it sucked that Chase couldn't get it done there. Like. Even if they would have stayed put where they were in that last moto, Jet would have got the overall. But what it was Chase, Jet, and Ken there. But I just wanted them to win so bad, and that like portion of the track got so many people throughout the weekend. It was pretty crazy. Like I think it got what Dino, Chase, then who else was it? Fernandez? No.
I'm not sure. I didn't. Oh, Plessinger, maybe.
Was the pl yeah yeah because yeah Donji was talking about yeah Plessinger like ate it pretty hard apparently, so that was a little sketchy, but that when those guys were hitting it clean, that section looked pretty sick though. But yeah, the track, I don't know, looked all right. Like I was just cool with the whole thing, going outside there and dropping back down in that sand section. But just that whole Coliseum vibe seemed really cool, and I know the whole, racing to the Coliseum is before our time, but that seems really cool. Like I remember growing up watching replays of or reruns or whatever of Supercross at the Coliseum, and especially playing the good old PS2. It was it MX versus ATV Unleashed. They had that sick Supercross track at the Coliseum dropping down, and there was like some sick jump there. Like it makes me want to play it again. Like I'm gonna bust up the PS2 now. But yeah, it was definitely a good race and a good series or whatever you want to call it. But I was really curious to see how it was gonna work out with the whole double or single, double, and triple points. And I didn't think it was gonna work out that good. But honestly, I don't know if it's just this year, and who knows, it could be absolutely horrible next year. But I think it worked out really good, and it made it to where it wasn't just a runaway. It went down actually to the last moto, and it was really good, especially in the 250 class too. So I know it sucks with Hunter getting hurt there, so it would have been a little bit different possibly, but it's still, I think it worked out. It seemed a little bit weird with that whole point structure, but hey, you know, I guess it worked. But it was really cool, then, especially with all the money behind it too. So it's cool. I just wish they had a better name, like Super Motocross, really. But I guess that's the least of everyone's worries. But it was good racing, but a crazy off season. A lot to talk about in that, which we'll I guess touch on in another time or another episode. But one thing I wanted to hit on here before we ended this was Chase Sexton going over the KTM. Don't have to really get into too much detail of it, because I guess we can talk about this for a while. But yeah, how do you think he's gonna do with the new bike and going over to the KTM? It seems like that's definitely gonna be I guess I really don't know what to expect out of him in 2024. Like, I know obviously he's still gonna be a really good rider and be up there, but curious to see how it's gonna work out.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting to see. Yeah, that's just a tough call. Like, I mean, as a racer, you know, me being doing in the past at a, you know, not nearly Rebel KTM level, but from smaller teams or even, you know, bike brands or gear sponsors, whatever. But it's like, new is cool. You know, it's, the change is nice. So he's probably going to be happy, you know, in a happier mood. You know, on the bike, really the bike thing aside, like set up and, you know, obviously that's a big part of it, but his, I think, morale and just mood going into next year is going to be higher. Cause in his mind, like, he was trying everything he could to make that Honda work and to make it work for him, but he kept crashing and whatever, his fault or the bike's fault or whatever. Whatever it is, but a change is good. So now we changed. That's a big change, you know. Honda, you can make tweaks here and there, but there's no real big changes you can make. So that's a huge change. So for sure, excited to see him on Orange, rocking the number 4 next year.
Oh my God, that's gonna be so weird. Like, he made it to where I think this year, even last year. Last year, for sure, I guess, but where you think of the number 23, at least for me, okay, 23, you know, Chase Sexton, 21, Jace Anderson, 3, Eli Tomac, but now it's like, we got, what, Grant Harlan's 23 now, it's going to be weird, but Chase Sexton, number 4, like, that's going to be weird, and number 4 be on KTM, I guess we had Baggett with it, but it's definitely going to be weird to see.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's going to take some time to get used to, but I, you know, for a while we won't have to see that because we'll see in the good number 1 for the whole Supercross series. So that'd be pretty cool. And yeah, we'll see if he can like keep the red plate for a while. You see that Plessinger setup for this weekend looks pretty sick. Like, obviously it has some USA theme stuff on it, but just that number 1 on the KTM looks pretty sick. So pump for Sexton, and especially with Team KTM, he will be the, you know, the main guy, right? He'll be the A guy. And if you stayed at Honda, it would have been, you know, him and Jet. And I guess Hunter, like, I expect him to do really good, but it'll be, you know, between both those guys. So cool to see him, like, be the top dog for sure, you know, at his team. And curious to see how it's going to work out. Like I said, we can talk about this for a while, but wrapping this up. But I think we got everything we, or at least I wanted to touch on. And yeah, we're gonna hopefully have some good racing tomorrow. Got MX Nations, and then yeah, got a long break before A1. But anyways, yeah, thank you for hopping on and getting on our last episode, which I think you were on the second to last one back in March. So it's been a while. Then I did one in April, so it seems like it's always a while. And then it seems like you're like the first one on after a long vacay. But yeah, well, thank you guys for tuning in, and hopefully we'll be back soon doing some off-season stuff. So peace out, guys. If you guys are looking to get graphics for your bike, your snowmobile, or even get a helmet wrap,
I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. Aaron at Prism does an amazing job. The graphics look so sick, and not only do they look really cool, the quality of those graphics are top-notch too. And I have a set on my pit bike, and man, they look cool. I have that Geico theme going on, and well, rest in peace, Geico Honda. Anyways, have that going, and it looks sick, but not only that, but the quality of them is really great, and that's something I was really pumped on, actually, because there's a lot of companies out there that the graphics look really cool, really clean. You know, you can post your picture on Instagram, and the bike looks so sick, but you have a weekend on the bike of doing a couple motos, and they're starting to peel and everything, and that's just really frustrating, and that's the complete opposite with Prism. The quality of them is really great, and they're at an affordable price too, so I highly recommend you guys check out Prism Designs. You can find them on Instagram at PrismDesigns_company. And then their link to their website is right there in their bio. So definitely recommend you check out Prism.